This is Stena. Thank you for tuning in to the Identity in Me podcast, which features courageous and hopefully accessible conversations with a variety of people processing different aspects of their social and personal identities or services they provide that are culturally responsive. I'm joined in this episode by Isaiah Tucker, who is the president and co-founder of IVOC and a licensed independent clinical social worker. In this conversation, I get to learn about this cool nonprofit organization in Worcester and some important work Isaiah and his team are doing to help young people of color adopt language to talk about their feelings. Thanks for listening. So Identity in Me is on another level now, because now I have folks finding me on IG and reaching out. We have reached new heights. I so appreciate this. And this is the second guest I'm interviewing who found me on Instagram and said, "What's good? I want to tell my story." So I have a great guest here with me, an entrepreneur, a person who's doing great things. So happy to have you. How are you doing this evening?
Fantastic. It's a blessing to be here. And yes, I definitely found you on Instagram and was pleased with what I saw. So appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you. See y'all. IG. IG works for people.
It does.
All right. So Isaiah, before we get into what you're doing right now with your organization, can you tell us how you identify?
Yes. I identify first and foremost as a man of God. I am a Black man. I am Elijah Tucker's father. I have an 11-year-old son. I'm also a husband to Naomi. Yeah. Those two are my everything. Keep me going. Clinical social worker, entrepreneur. I think that's me.
All right. So at your wedding, did you dance to "You Are My Everything" by Mary J. Blige?
I did it. No.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought you were about to say "I did." I was like, whoa. Okay.
That would have been a dope. Yeah. No, it was "The Ribbon in the Sky" by Stevie. That's a classic, right?
That was dope. Yeah. That was dope. Okay. Who picked it?
Actually, I did. She gave me that one.
Okay. All right. Right on. So the first time we spoke, something I learned about you was that you're a music head, and we share that in common. Like, we both have an appreciation for 90s and 2000 or early 2000s hip hop. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Who's on your playlist from that era?
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So I'll try and... So I got a lot of Busta Rhymes.
All right.
You know, Busta Rhymes from beginning all the way to now. But okay. From that time, you know, Extinction Level Event, Busta Rhymes.
All right.
The Roots, Black Thought. Black Thought is my favorite MC of all time, just to put that out there. A lot of Jay, a lot of Nas, a lot of East Coast.
Yeah.
I was into a lot of East Coast hip hop back then. And what else? Definitely a little bit of Outkast. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All of those. All right. So my last hip hop related question. So you got an 11-year-old and he says to you, Dad, I keep hearing about Busta Rhymes. What is the song that you are playing for him immediately? Like, what is your go-to for Busta Rhymes?
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? Okay.
Just one. You can't cheat.
So give me some more. Yeah. That just popped into my mind.
And that was on that. No, it was on his album after Extinction Level Event.
It was just before. Wait. Yeah, I think so. Just before, I think.
Was it before or after?
I can't remember.
Gonna have to look it up. That was a dope video.
Yeah. So he's the whole package, right?
Yep.
Like, wordplay, creativity, you know, energy. You could put him on something from back then, you put it on now, you catch something new. Like, he, I think he's just the full package and so consistent. Like, he never steps out of who he is to change, you know, for the times and nothing. He's always him.
He's one of the few hip-hop artists I have listened to live. I went to a concert, and he was just dope. And by the way, my go-to for Busta Rhymes would be Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Could See.
Okay.
Straight Butt Wildin' is the place to be.
Yeah. Wait, where did you see him live?
I saw him at Smith College.
Okay. So I saw him at the Palladium.
Okay.
Yep. It was Extinction Level Event album he was promoting. And it was, like 99, 98. Palladium, say less, right? Like, he's just, high energy.
Must have been a dope concert.
It was amazing, man. Like, I've never been to a better concert since.
And so the Palladium, y'all, it's in Worcester. I don't know if it's still there, but you're still there. You're still there. You started an organization. Please tell me about it and why you chose to launch it to support the demographic that you support.
Yeah. So my organization is a nonprofit. It's called Inner Voice Outer Change for Youth. Essentially, why I created it was because I wanted to create more opportunities for our kids of color to experience mental health that kind of meets them where they're at. So we're really a youth-driven organization. A lot of what we do is based on the feedback we get from our participants or teens that we meet with.
Why did you choose to serve that audience?
Okay, so first of all, it goes back to me when I was a kid. And, I'm in my early 40s. So back then, mental health therapy, we didn't really do that. We didn't talk about it. And if we did, it had a negative connotation, so a negative association with it. The language that was used was it didn't make sense to me. You know, you talk about depression and anxiety now, people, it clicks, right? Back then, I didn't even know that's what I was dealing with, or I was dealing with anxiety. So that was the disconnect. So I wanted to create a service and a program that connected the dots for students, for kids, and also gave them a way to cope with some of the things they were dealing with. So we kind of like remix the language. You know, we kind of say, how are you feeling? And they give us whatever it is. We say, okay, that's what we're going to call it, but the symptoms are the same.
Yeah.
So the symptoms that we describe for anxiety, depression, we highlight those. You can call it, I'm just stressed, or I'm just whatever, fill in the blank. And then we go into how can we cope with it? How do we deal with it? How do we manage it so it's not so overwhelming? And that's where the music and videography and photography come in.
Okay, and we're going to get to the music and videography and whatnot, but you're saying that the young people that you serve create the language for how they're feeling?
Yes.
Please say a little bit more about that. Why did you derive that approach?
I'll give you an example. We just talking about Busta Rhymes. Silly with the non-milly, with the dilly, yo. Right?
Yep.
Everybody knows now who that is and what the dilly, yo means, right? It's what's the deal? What's going on? What's happening?
Yeah.
So you see how we could have a kid come in and kind of have that creative language and have to say, well, what are you saying? And then pair it with, oh, me as a mental health clinician, I see that as symptoms of depression. We don't have to, I'm not diagnosing you. We don't do that at IVOC, but I can help you with those issues from my clinical perspective, right? And what I know is we can use these things to help cope and manage. And one of the greatest sort of ways to do that, the medicine, if you will, comes from the self-expression, right? Self-expression met with validation is everything.
Boom. You know,
that saves lives, right? Yep. So, So does that make sense, though?
It does entirely. When did you land on this approach?
It's a story. So back
you got a story to tell, Biggie Smalls? Dun, dun. Yeah. Go ahead.
Why did the instrumental just popped into my head? So, yes. So this was earlier on in my career. I worked with Department of Children and Families, so State Child Protective Agency. And I was an adolescent outreach worker. And so I had this kid who had been in the system for many years. And now he's 17. and I get his case, if you will. And this kid is running away from every single placement. And more or less, it's like, Isaiah, we want to make sure this kid doesn't just age out of the system and, you know, not have any sort of hope.
Yep.
So long story, somewhat short. when I get the case, nothing changes, but I'm investing a lot into this kid. I'm going, like, after hours, we're going to hang out to get a bite to eat. I'm really trying to build rapport, but he's still running away from every placement. We moved him from Central. He was living in Central Mass all the way out to Springfield.
Yep.
Still found his way. So I get a call late at night that they found him. And so I go to pick him up and I'm bringing him to his next placement. And that car ride and that conversation, I kind of lost my cool. I was mad. And I'm like, what do you want, man? Like, what do we have to do? And he looked at me with the most sobering look, Stena. He was like, listen, man, I've been telling you what I want. And now, mind you, every time I'm with him, he's rapping.
Yeah.
Mm. And Stena, he was horrible. He was the worst. But he told me every time, this is who I'm going to be. This is what I love.
Yeah.
Rapper. And so the light bulb finally went off. And I had a friend who owned a recording studio. And so I said, I'm going to connect you with my friend. You're going to get free studio time. You just have to stay in your placement.
Yeah.
That's it. Right.
Yeah.
And so 6 months, he was in his placement. Every week, he's looking forward to going to the recording studio.
Mm.
And he went from this pretty bad rapper to actually rapping about stuff he really, really cared about, telling his story.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, say less, man. I need to do more of this. And it goes back to the sort of like having culturally relevant services for these kids. So I was offering him everything he had already tried. Individual therapy, family therapy, therapeutic mentor, therapy, everything. And it was like, I've tried that. It's like, doesn't work, right? So that's why that's when IVOC was really created.
You know, it's interesting, and that story resonates with me. I used to coach basketball in Worcester for a long time. I was at Quinsigamond Community College. And it wasn't a revelation to me that young men of color in particular in this city were really drawn to basketball, because I grew up in Dorchester and Mattapan and Brighton, and we played ball. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to me still what I can get these guys to do in order to stay on the team. They had their mm-hmm. best grades ever, because literally I used the ball as a carrot. I'm like, all right, check this out. I am not the people who coached you previously. I will not enable you. You absolutely have to go to class in order to keep playing. And if you need help in a class, you need to let me know so that I can hook you up with tutoring to get the assistance you need. And every year, I had guys performing better academically than they ever had, to the point where after 8 years of coaching, I could say that over 50 of the players I coached transferred to a four-year school.
Wow.
On yeah. the strength of the hook to basketball. So yeah. what you just said with the young man in hip hop, I totally get it. And yeah. so you're continuing to do that with other young people in Worcester.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Yep. So we have all types of different programs, and I won't say different programs. We have two core programs, but we're our location and who we partner with is all throughout Central Mass.
Walk me through how a young person experiences this program.
Yeah. So we have, I'll start with the real foundation is more or less it's our after school program. So we pride ourselves on going to wherever our contract is, if you will. So we'll say we have after school programs at five different schools in Worcester. Literally, as soon as that bell rings for dismissal, the kids can come one day a week at each school. And typically, you know, we got food and snacks, we got music playing, we do check-ins, just kind of like, how's your week? Literally how we started this before we got on air. Yeah. And then from there, they usually talk about what they want to express. Usually it's a theme. So we give them some ideas on themes, like theme about life, relationships, loss, love, any of those things. But we really say, like, we have to create something that's real. Yeah. We're not going to be talking about stuff we don't know about. Like, that's just not going to help anybody.
I'm bussing gats.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Maybe a squirt gun, right?
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's how, and then they build on the song each week. Hmm. So they might create just one song, which is a collaborative project, or some kids we have kind of going on their own and doing their own thing. Each of our programs are structured with a mental health professional and a music engineer. So those two are the co-facilitators that help create the space. Because like I was saying before, that's the bottom line for us, is creating the space.
Yeah,
you got
yeah.
to create a safe space. If they happen to make some music or video content out of it, that's icing on the cake. But we just want them to feel safe and comfortable to have some of these difficult conversations. And we want to, again, provide like some resources and healthy coping on how to deal with that.
How do you judge success?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I think for me, the success is measured based on the kids' feedback. So feedback meaning not just verbally, but like, do they come back? What's their energy like when they're with us?
Yeah.
And then it's the verbal. And then it's also surveys and things like that. But it's really the students and the kids' feedback is. Now, I say this to my team all the time. It's not a big deal if there's only two or three kids there. Like, yeah, that's not a big deal for me. So that's who we're going to support that day, right? And that's kind of what I was getting to before the call, was like the frustration, because it's like, we're talking about mental health for Black and brown kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is new. This is not, like, this is just new, as in 2 years ago, it was kind of like, okay to even do that.
Yeah.
So it's hard for kids, especially our Black and brown kids, to even like engage in something like that. It feels uncomfortable. It's not easy, right? So, and we know that as adults. So I'm going on kind of a tangent here, but this is what we're here for. This is what IVOC is here for, is to support our Black and brown kids and helping them understand, like, mental health is very important. We all struggle with it. There's ups and downs to it, nuances to it, but we got to pay attention to it. Like, we can't just act like it's only something for like those people, you know, white people, whatever.
Yeah. Wow. So many questions come to mind right now. All right. So does a young person have to be into hip hop in order to get something out of this program?
The short answer is yes. It's so the hip hop piece was like, it's kind of like where I started. That's what I know. But it has definitely evolved into all genres, all types of music. We actually have kids that play instruments. We have some of our team that knows how to play different instruments, the keys, the piano, the guitar. So yeah, any genre, any style of music.
When did you start to evolve the program beyond hip hop?
It's weird because it was midway through our first kind of like official year. Because we started off in 2019. We weren't even a legal sort of business entity, but we started off there in November at the Boys and Girls Club in Worcester. And then December, January, February, we all know what happens next.
Yeah.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
So we it rearranged everything for IVOC.
Yeah.
So after that, we started at one school, South High School, as an after-school program, and that was in 2021. And that's when we spread it opened it up to like different styles of music, different genres. And I had one volunteer who knew how to play the guitar, and that's what helped.
Yeah. I love how you're so nimble. You notice something and you pivot. One of the ways in which you did not identify was as a creative. You are certainly a creative, man.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
I respect that. And you are also a Black entrepreneur. And I'm wondering how you have experienced being a Black entrepreneur running this particular organization. And if you want to use this opportunity to plug any sponsors, by all means, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, in terms of being a Black entrepreneur, I love it. I love everything about the freedom that it creates. the opportunities, the direct and indirect messages and lessons from my son, you know. But to your, I think to your point, you know, we're nothing without collaboration and partnership. So there's been a lot of folks to rally around IVOC to help me specifically, help our organization. And I want to say, so I want to name a few. One is Unity Radio in Worcester. Are you familiar with Unity Radio?
Is this Ernie Floyd?
Yes.
Yes, I'm familiar. Yep.
Yes. Ernie Floyd was one who bought in very early. Another brother of mine, Ron Waddell, Legendary Legacies. Have you heard of that?
I have not. Nope.
Yeah. So they do a lot in the community for folks who were incarcerated and now returning to the community.
Yeah.
Usually like that 20 to 30 year old range. So that's another brother. And then recently, newer organization or business, sorry, called SnowGo. Now, this is a game changer. I don't know if you've heard of SnowGo.
No, tell me about it.
SnowGo, it's an app. So they do snow removal. So you basically, if you're thinking about like Uber Eats, you just tap on the app, you get the direct service. That's the same thing for snow removal. So if you, maybe it's not you that needs snow removal, maybe you're comfortable being out in the snow and shoveling and all that, but you got an older aunt that lives across town. You can tap on the app, set it all up, she can get the snow removed from her driveway without doing anything. It's called snowgo.app is the website, and SnowGo is the business name. So they've been helpful in a lot of different ways, donating funds, resources, services, creative marketing ideas. And the last thing I'll say, and then I'll be quiet, in terms of entrepreneurship, it's learning. For me, the biggest thing to learn was I can't be doing this in a silo. I can't, there's no way for me to survive unless I allow myself to receive support and be a little bit of vulnerable in terms of what I need. That's the only way to make it.
So one of the reasons I asked that question is because growing up, I remember hearing folks talk about the difficulty that Black people have in securing business loans, and getting mortgages and so forth. And so I asked the question wondering if you encountered any barriers along the way, and it sounds like you haven't, or did you just leave that out of the narrative?
Yeah, I just left it out. That's like a whole long conversation. But to condense it, yes. So we are a nonprofit as of recent. We started out in 2019. I was working with a friend, was kind of underneath his umbrella. Then got an LLC as IVOC because I didn't know how to get a nonprofit. Ended up getting what's called a fiscal sponsor. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm not.
Basically, because I'm not a nonprofit, could not get a lot of grant funds, but I partnered with a nonprofit so they could get the grant funds and allocate them to me until we became a nonprofit.
Yeah.
To become a nonprofit, all this paperwork, legal consultation, all these things that are, frankly, they were barriers. Yeah. And that's where all those supports come in. Folks would say, oh, I know this person who can help you pro bono, or you don't want to go with that person. You want to go with this person, right?
Yeah.
But it's been a long process, man. There's been a lot of doors closed that it just didn't make sense, right?
Sure.
Like, other than I'm just a Black man doing this work. It was one of those things. So it's been quite the journey.
So I want to circle back to IVOC or IVOC.
Yep, IVOC, yep.
Does anybody ever say IVOC, by the way?
All the time, which is fine.
Okay, all right. But I'll say IVOC because you've been saying that.
Yeah, thank you.
So you said something that resonated with me about the identification of how one feels. So I remember a moment in high school where I kept hearing my peers talking about being stressed. And this was around the college application process. And I went to somebody and I go, yo, what's stress? And I think it was my ex-girlfriend at the time. And she goes, what? I'm like, no, what's stress? Like, how do I know when I'm stressed? And she goes, why are you asking me that? And how do you not know what stress is? I'm like, because all these seniors are walking around talking about being stressed and I'm not feeling what they feel. So explain what stress is to me. And she explained it to me and I'm like, huh. Fast forward. My father passed away when I was 22. I cried at his funeral. I cried when he passed. At his funeral, when I cried, I will never forget the experience of thinking to myself, I can't remember the last time I cried. And I can't feel my legs right now because I'm crying so much and I can't stop. And people are holding me up. And I'm just like, yo, I've never felt like this in my life. And so I think in that moment, I was just releasing a lot of tears that I hadn't shed because I had been socialized as a young man to not express feelings, to not express emotions. Don't be a sucker. Don't be a punk. Don't be a bitch. Like all of it. Right. Yep. And so in those moments of identifying or noting how I felt, I just couldn't do it. And then I come to a point in my life and it's just like, you're so emotionless. Like, damn, yo, I'm being gaslit.
Yeah.
you know, like, because I was told for so many years not to express feelings. Now I don't. And there's something wrong with that. So anyway, this is a long, circuitous way to a question of, do you feel confident that after a year or two in your program that your young men walk away being able to identify how they feel or express how they feel to somebody else?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think what the reason why is because, like I said, a lot of what we do is youth driven. We're creating that space. You tell us what you want, what you need, and we try our best to make that happen in the time that you're with us. So just like anything, it's not about what people tell you, it's how they make you feel. Yeah. And that feeling never goes away. Like, man, when I was at IVOC, yeah, I spit the wackest bars, but everybody clapped for me. Mm. You know, like these are the sorts of things that we're trying to teach them, that there's no mastery of this mental health thing. It's just about being vulnerable enough to learn, you know, and there's a win in that. There's a big win in that. It's not going to feel comfortable, but at the end, you'll learn stuff about yourself. And so those are things that our kids tell us a lot, you know, the experience that they have. And so that's how I know there's a win there. That's how I know that we're impacting them. I don't expect them to like be super vulnerable all of a sudden. You know, this is a life journey, right? But that experience, that's something that you can never take away.
Yeah. Right on, man. Thank you for this work that you're doing in the great city of Worcester, a city I hold so close to my heart. I lived there for 18 years. Now I'm in the seacoast in New Hampshire. It's very different. It's very, very.
When's the last time you came back to the city?
I was there actually in November. I was there in early November. I was there for a quinceañera. Had a dope meal at the party. Like the food was catered. It was so good. And Worcester is not short on great food spots.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh. It's everywhere in Worcester.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want folks to be able to find you on social media or online. So tell them how they can find you.
Yes. So you can find me on any social media platform. You can find IVOC for Youth, F-O-R Youth. We're in bright pink letters, IVOC. You'll find us on Instagram. I said any social media platform. These are the ones you can find us. Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Those are the three you can find us on there. And we also have a website, ivocforyouth.com. Check it out. You'll get a real taste of what we're about. It's all explained there. You'll see some dope videos as well. We didn't really talk about our videography stuff, but we got some dope videography stuff on there too. So check us out. So Stena, I want to share something we are very excited about at IVOC. It's called our Upstream Initiative, and it's all about teaching kids about self-care and giving them the opportunity to experience self-care a little bit different than they might typically experience it. So we have a raffle. So each of our kids who are on a roll, or if their grades go up one letter in all of their classes, at the end of each quarter, we do the raffle. And if they win the raffle, they get access to MMA classes, dance lessons, manicure, pedicure, free haircuts, free beauty salon, or they also get access to yoga. So they get to choose any of those six things, and they engage for 6 weeks for free on IVOC.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Identity in Me. Shout out to Isaiah Tucker for coming on the podcast and doing this really important work in the Worcester community. The service that IVOC provides is a great example of how equity works. Isaiah and his team are using hip hop as a vehicle to help young people express and recognize their feelings who connect with the genre. Another important element to note here is that he listened and observed, then responded to the need that was being expressed rather than assume what the community wanted or needed. If you're feeling the content, please follow the podcast on Instagram at identity_n_me and follow it on Spotify as well. A 5 rating and a share would also be appreciated. Until the next episode of Identity in Me, keep reflecting. Identity and me.